Blog Talk Radio. Right into it, because this show is only an hour long. Tuesday, probably one of the most important days that we're going to have in American history. As Democrats and Republicans face off in ballots and races from the presidency all the way down to dog catcher. And we fight for the soul of our nation. So tonight, instead of coming on this morning, because this morning I was in my field and decided not to do a show this morning and just let myself collect, because I woke up angry this morning. And I woke up angry because we in America allowed ourselves to get into this situation. This didn't sneak up on. This just wasn't some fluke. We allowed it. For so many years, those of us in the political space have just gotten used to doing business as usual. And there were players in our spaces that were not there to do business as usual. These people branded themselves as outsiders, and let's be completely and totally honest. Most of us in political spaces, whether we are reformists or resistors or status quo establishment people, we're not outside. We are operating in a space. We play primarily by the same rules, even if we're not playing on the same team. But these so-called outsiders, the ones who make up the current administration, had other things in mind. They came to dismantle and destroy the Republic. And they have convinced millions of Americans that the destruction of the Republic is a patriotic thing. So we stand tonight prepared to enter into the breach. There's a hole in the wall. And our early voters have been banging at the wall. They have formed a hole. Now, y'all know I like to use science fiction analogies. This is like the wall in Game of Thrones coming down and the White Walkers are pouring through. Or even better, when the gates opened up at King's Landing. We are now inside the city. We're entering the breach. This weekend, thousands, tens of thousands of volunteered paid political staffers have been making their final round, convincing people who did not early vote to continue to turn in their mail-in ballots. But you can still drop those off right now. You can go to your nearest drop box here in Georgia and drop off your ballot right now. You can do it tomorrow. You can do it Tuesday. Make sure it's in there by 7 o'clock. I don't give a damn what the hell they're telling you. Make sure that joke is in there by 7 o'clock. Because if you hadn't mailed it, you can forget it. Don't be trying to postmark it. Get it in there now. Because there's a lot at stake in this election. Because what we continuously are thinking that this is an election just about policy and about agenda. It is a far larger battle than that. It extends into realms that I think that some of us are incapable of thinking in because we're so married to our agendas and policy positions. Because what we're talking about is the future of the republic. Now, there are those of you who will make the argument that the republic was never built for us, and when I say us, we're talking about my fellow black folk in this country. But the original republic wasn't built for a lot of folks here in America. It wasn't built for poor white men. It wasn't built for women. It wasn't built for Native Americans. It wasn't built for black folk. It wasn't built for the immigrant. It was built, the original republic was built for rich white men, and they have been fighting every day to maintain some semblance of control. And that control has been slipping away from them for the last 200 plus years as the ability for different groups to be enfranchised by the vote. When poor white men got the right to vote, power slipped away from their hands just a little bit. Then you had the first instances of the black man being able to vote, and they had to find ways to try to block that from happening because they figured, well, okay, we all right with the white men, other white men voting. We can manipulate them because they think one day they can be us. And that has been a problem. But I'm going to hold for a second with that. We then allowed the woman, the white woman, to obtain the right to vote. Power slipped away from the rich white man even further. That brings us to the present day because nearby everyone in this country has the right to be enfranchised with the right to vote. See attempts to curtail that. Make that more difficult. we attempt to suppress the vote. Because what is wrong for more people? What is, if we have this problem here in this country where it seems it is a bad thing for more people to have the right to vote, for it to be easier, for it to be more accessible. We keep getting this idea that some kind of way there's a fraud, that more people get the their voices heard. But the thing is that the rich white man is a minority who is losing his grip on power. Even though he controls the majority of the wealth in this country, it's not enough. He has to be able to control our lives, our bodies, our labor, and even our ability to consume. But the republic that has evolved over this time period is the vehicle which is allowed there, because what they fail to realize is that they put some things in place that allow that expansion, that evolution. And we in this country who find ourselves in minority positions, find ourselves sometimes railing against and battling, against the idea of the republic, when that small thing gives us the most hope for finally getting justice and equality here in America today, and to secure it for our futures. And those small things are etched in words of our founding, our foundational document. Our foundational documents had words that, like, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal. Now, men in this aspect means humankind, not just people of the male gender. And then we have words in our Constitution that are spoken out in our preamble, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union. They knew that the union was not perfect. And some of them actually probably even envisioned what we have today, thinking, well, we don't have the political will today to do this, but maybe in 100 years we will, maybe in 200 years we will. And we're at the cusp of that, of that thing that I believe that the Founding Fathers had envisioned. But again, there are groups of rich white men who see how that benefited them and benefited them only. Now, let me say this. There's nothing inherently evil about being rich. The vast majority of Americans, if you ask them, would like to be better off than we are today. A large proportion of us would like to be wealthy. And in a country such as large as ours, with such a robust economy and the financial resources that are available, there could be larger groups of us that could obtain wealth in this country. It wouldn't be necessary for us to be able to create millionaires on the pace that China creates billionaires, with a billion people in its population. It would not be anything for us not to be able to have the level of happiness that the Scandinavian countries have. But what we lack that those countries have that we don't have is a homogenous population or a population that sees itself as homogenous. We allow these groups of rich white men to continue to inject race. And it's because they've injected it so long that it has even become part of some of the minority strategy to continue to fight the battle from a position of race instead of from class. Martin Luther King realized this toward the end of his life, that this was not just a race struggle, this was a class struggle, and that we're being played. We are being played. We're being bamboozled into believing that race is the thing. And so we've believed it so long that it has actually manifested itself as a truth, as a fact. And we have to, you know, and the will at this particular time does not exist to dismantle that thing and to look at ourselves as one people. If you've listened to Down South and Dirty for the last 6 years, you've heard me talk about about the American Latin phrase "E pluribus unum." From many, we became one. Our strength is in our ability of bringing together a shared culture, to be able to coalesce and unite under the banner of the United States of America. And we have continuously allowed, particularly those of us on the left, that have allowed the right to make these banners dead, which in turn makes us have to seek other banners, which then in turn makes us look like we do not love America. And that is an absolute and total lie. We're just seeking the more perfect union that is talked about in the Constitution. We're the ones who are pushing for the reality that all men are created equal. So as we enter the breach tonight, we must understand that this has to stop now. And the weapon we have chosen is our vote. And we must be victorious. If you've not early voted, you need to get your ass in line on November 3rd. And you need to get there early. If there's a day that you have to sacrifice some work, this is it. And you need to stand in that line till you get in there and you exercise your right. They're going to play all kinds of games. There are going to be all kinds of shenanigans. That are going to be put forth in the next coming days, even after the votes have been cast. Legal teams are going to be prepared to mount challenges on both sides. We already see an early one forming up in the state of Texas, where the Texas Republican Party is attempting to get over 100,000 votes thrown out because people are allowed to vote from their car. What kind of evil exists when you know that the way you've been governing is so substandard, so fucking evil, that you know people are prepared to vote you out? So you do everything in your power to try to prevent their voices from being heard. This is why we must enter the breach. This is why We must stand the line. This is why we must push the line. because the republic is at stake. Ever your issue or agenda is the survival of the republic is key to that even being heard. I have many of my fellow brothers and sisters say, oh, I'm not going to vote because none of these people support reparations. Well, I can promise you this. No republic, no reparations. If America ceases to exist, you won't get paid. There will never be a check. Because I can promise you any southern successor states are going to say, fuck you. Everybody else is going to say, well, this is not the American government. We don't owe you shit. The Republican has to survive for you to be able to get what you want. If you are a woman in America today, all the rights that you have are in jeopardy if the Republic fails. Because any successor state can make up its own rules and reverse hundreds of 100 years worth of case law because that government no longer exists. If you're LGBTQ and the Republic dies, your protections are gone away. And I even make this case. If you are a Christian in this country today, your rights are in jeopardy if the Republic dies. Because there's nothing to say that this successor state or whatever comes after the Republic is going to recognize whatever particular Christian sect you belong to. There are way too many of us that belong to independent churches. And the church of whatever, because what we fail to realize is that the First Amendment, our First Amendment right of the separation of church and state has never been about truly separating church and state. It just didn't allow the state to establish a state religion. So there's no religious freedom after the Republic dies. It doesn't exist because the Constitution will no longer exist. Do you understand the gravity of what I am talking about? Do you get it? Do you understand the danger that we are in? And this is why we are in the situation now, because some of us have not understood. When people like me are talking and pressing this issue and talking in the using the language that I'm using tonight, we're looked at like we're freaking crazy. But some of you realize and are scared because you know the possibility is true. We must vote. Be prepared to challenge. This is how we save the Republic. Even for my fellow Americans who are members of the Republican Party, I am a former Republican. This party that exists today is not the party of Abraham Lincoln. This party is very much looks like the beginnings of National Socialism. Do not let your fear of a diverse America that is not as white, scare you, because what you fail to realize is since the implementation of civil rights and the rollback of Jim Crow, Americans become more and more prosperous because more and more Americans, regardless of skin color, creed, religion, sexual orientation, have access to participate in the American economy. which in turn allow us to become a more prosperous nation. It increases GDP. Allows more people to be able to access the stock market and participate in it. It allows more people to be able to become entrepreneurs, which in turn then creates jobs. But without a diverse America, you decrease your market, you decrease GDP, you therefore impoverish America. Do not let these charlatans continue to play these games with you, making you think that by them clearing the so-called FEMA and doing all the dumb shit that they're doing, that it will, for some kind of way, make your life better. Because at the end of the day, you are not those rich white men at the top of the pyramid. They're only using you to continue their hold on power. They're making fools of you. Are you continuously prepared to put your life on the line for this foolishness? America is stronger when it embraces its diversity. This is what has made us the strongest nation on the planet. We couldn't have whooped the Nazis without Tuskegee Airmen, Navajo talkers, or Nisei infantrymen. We couldn't have beat the Nazis if it had not been for women, Air Force auxiliary, the waves of the Navy. It was the complete and total mobilization of what we were that allowed us to beat fascism. It was the complete and totality, of what we are that allowed us to become a superpower. And you can trace back historically in some of these same robber barons that are trying to convince you today that we on the left are the worst scourge to ever have faced you in history. You can trace back to their grandfathers and great-grandfathers, and their asses love the fucking Nazis. Get your head on, America, because we're entering the breach. For all the wonderful tunes that we're hearing about going to go vote, the wonderful videos, all the celebrities, this is a very serious issue. Because nothing that any of us want today can be brought to manifestation without the Republic. What we vote for on this November 3rd is an attempt to set our nation back on course. Because we way off of it. Not saying that we were anywhere near perfect, but at least we were working on things. There got to be a lot of that. President Biden is going to have to spend his first year or two just disinfecting the damn White House. And hopefully we get control of the Senate and we can do some good work. Because Congress has not done anything substantial since before the Obama administration. We need to go to work. And after we vote, and after we win, our job then is to hold these people accountable. Just don't walk away on November 3rd. I voted. I've done my part. After that, you need to be watching what they do. Every congressperson that we send to Washington, every senator, every county commissioner, every sheriff, every member of the Public Service Commission, and I'm talking exclusively about Georgia right now, every Superior Court judge and Superior Court clerk that we will elect, we need to be held accountable. Because these people have duties that did affect other things going on. And I'm going to use DeKalb County, Georgia as an example. Some of the most egregious violations of voting rights have taken place in the most Democratic county in our state, with people who are nominally Democrats. But because everybody's about go along to get along, and everybody's down with the status quo, just get your paycheck. Let's not increase the efficiency of our offices. Let's not make things better for our people, in which we all sit there and say we do when we're running for an office. There are people who are involved with the individuals that make up that board. The Democratic Party, the DeKalb Democratic Party has a couple of appointments. The Republicans get some appointments. The government gets some appointments. They didn't hire the staff that deals with the day-to-day. We have elected, true enough, DeKalb has had its fair share of elections this year. And we know it has been hard because of the pandemic. But guess what? We've all had a hard-ass time because of the pandemic. People have taken pay cuts. People have lost jobs. Some people have had to constantly expose themselves. People have lost loved ones. And all we ask you to do is make sure we can make sure our voices are heard. That can't be done. We need to hold people accountable. They've made promises. Now, true enough, the way politics operates, some people promise stuff they don't even understand they can't promise. But if it is legal and possible, they at least need to show an effort. But they tried and they fought. Because we can no longer allow there to be anybody sleep at the wheel of the Republic again. We have to stop ignoring communities because the communities are not voting, or the community seems to be transient, or the community is poor. All of those things are connected because we don't care. We feel uncomfortable going to talk to people who we deem as lesser than we are. We got to go into these communities, educate these people on their rights, give them their voices, because they just want the same things we want. They want a chance to be lived better than they are living today. And if you don't want somebody else to have the chance of living better than they're living today, but you want that same chance, something is wrong with you. There's something inherently evil about that. And we got to purge that thinking from our collective system.
Because, again, when the least of us are doing better, then we all do better. America has constantly gotten stronger because the least of us have gotten stronger. And for the most part, I know y'all tell me, you know, I hear people tell me all the time, there's no difference between the parties. Yes, there hell is, because anything that has made the American people stronger, that has given more people opportunities to move up, it's been the Democratic Party. And this is from a former Republican, and I can tell you this to be true. Name me one thing that the Republicans have done as a policy that benefited every damn American. Can we do better? Can we do more? Yes, we can. I've been sitting back for the last couple of months just because I realize that this is a very important part of how our civilization operates. I've been studying economics. And there's a lot of things I don't think that the average person understands about economics. I can't say that I completely understand. I just continue to study. But we need to make an emphasis to teach our fellow citizens about economics. And economics is not just about money. It's about the behaviors that surround our decisions with the allocation toward the allocation of resources. It's not just about money. It's about behavior. They want us to think it's about money. That's finance, which is connected to economics. And there are a lot of lies that are told to us until we get in trouble, and then we have to do some magic to keep things afloat so the rich white men ain't got to suffer. But please, everyone, if you've not yet voted, be prepared to go stand in the lines on Tuesday so you can tell your children and your grandchildren and their children, and their children can say that you stood to save the republic, and that though this vote and the government that we elected did some good things that led to things that they can recognize in their lives that we can only dream of today. But our vote will make it possible for those dreams to even be manifested. Now, there are going to be times, and there's going to be some problems. We know that the Republicans are going to fight tooth and nail to try to stop this thing. And I got people now asking me questions. And some of these questions, I don't have answers to. Like Jim McBrayer out of Augusta just asked, does the, you know, party, the DPG, have a contingency plan in place just in case Trump tries to shut down the vote count or he refuses to concede should he lose? Now, I know we have lawyers in place. I know there are numerous organizations New Georgia Project, the ACLU, Fair Fight, all of these different organizations have legal teams prepared. Now, I don't know what kind of plan that we as the Georgia, the Democratic Party of Georgia can do for us. He refuses to concede to the news because that becomes a federal problem. That becomes a constitutional issue that is way larger than the party. That issue is way larger than just any political party. That is a constitutional crisis. And Miss Keenum is asking. Yeah, I talked about Texas earlier in the show because they're attempting to nullify 100,000 votes just because people have voted from their cars. The Texas GOP out there wants to claim that that's unconstitutional. It's going to be heard in the courts tomorrow morning, and it could very end up being a very snap decision by the United States Supreme Court, and which the thing is that reading the story that I read out of Texas this morning, one of the reasons I didn't do a show this morning because I wanted to read everything because things were popping up in my news feed, where I get my news at, my news briefings were popping up every 10 minutes of shenanigans that was going on in the place. I would have been reading news stories all day for 2 hours this morning. But however, case law in Texas actually makes this shouldn't even be being heard. But the particular judges in Texas are hyper-partisan that they're listening to. And if this kicks up to the Fifth Circuit, the Fifth Circuit has been packed with Trump people. But the thing is, the Texas law is very clear that what they're doing is legal. So why are we even having this conversation? Because there's some shenanigans going on. It was very clear that the legislature had cleared this back beginning of the pandemic because this wasn't the first time they allowed a drive-through. They did it in the primary. So that is crazy. So we see it going on there. I'm sure, like I said, there are legal teams all over the place that are prepared to deal with these issues. The question is going to be how are these judges going to rule? Because each circuit is a little different on how progressive it is versus how conservative it is. Like we all know, if you kick something to the Ninth Circuit, that's a very left-leaning circuit. The Fifth is a very conservative-leaning circuit. So you got all these different circuits that lean in different ways. So it's going to be interesting, folks. But this is why it's important that we not ever sleep at the wheel. Because we've been sleeping at the wheel for so long, we've allowed people to go in there and appoint judges and put them in place, and we've not been so hot to pay these Senate races any attention. Because the Senate has a job of confirmation. So now we're going to be dealing with this. Some of this stuff we're going to be dealing with for the next couple of years, even a couple of decades. Now, this leads me to speak on something that I have not spoken a lot on, but I'm going to speak on it tonight, which is the expansion of the court. I was not a fan of the idea until I realized, this is where we can't be suffering from political cognitive dissonance, okay? Because we just can't go with the popular thing in our head and be like, oh, that's bad or that's good. You got to go back and look at history. Got to go back and do some research. Do some reading. You know, they didn't teach us this thing called reading in school for us not to do it. Because the quickest way to hide something in America is to put it in a damn book. Because, I'd rather get it from a book than I'd rather get it from Google sometimes, because somebody can go in there fool with a Google page. If I go find a book and the book is a couple of years old, I know you ain't had a chance. You can't go in there and fool with that. This wouldn't be the first time we've expanded the court. Originally, the Supreme Court was 5, and we now have 9. So to take it to 11 or 13, considering, you know, the length of time we've had 9, we kind of overdue for an expansion. And it has been expanded for the same reason we're looking for an expansion today, because one side has done a really effed up job packing the court, leaning one way. And see, in a perfect America, we would be looking for judges. We were looking for judges that were fair and balanced. But no, what we've done is we start putting conservative and progressive and liberal justices on the bench. And it starts taking a political slant. Instead of looking for just a good jurist who has a very diverse opinion history. You know, I would love to see a judge that's kind of been, you know, kind of all over the place, you know, and they have very thoughtful opinions. You know, and I'm sitting here reading, I'm sorry for the dead air there for a second, because, you know, I love it when people send me stuff. You know, my friend Kina just sent me a cartoon that was an article from back when FDR was president that talked about, that showed, you know, the different ideas and when people wanted to try to pack the court and this, that, and the other. And it's very interesting because, we've had several attempts in which we've tried to expand the court, or wanted to expand the court, and all of them have not been successful. And the argument we hear today is that the reason why people don't want to expand the court now is because, oh, it's tradition. But tradition says that we try to expand the court on a regular basis. And to be honest with you, you know, Supreme Court justices just don't rule on the constitutionality of laws and issues here in the country. They also supervise a number of the circuit courts. And, you know, right now with the number of circuit courts, some people got a little bit more on their plate than they should have, because these are a lot of older folks. And also, expanding the court will put a lot of more of younger voices in there to play and kind of help us wash this 20th century off of the court. And which, that I really believe that needs to happen. But we're coming toward the end of the hour. And this show was a condensed show that we were only planning on doing it for an hour today. Now, I got some extra time, so I can float a little bit. But what I wanted to also talk about is that this particular show is the last regularly scheduled show of 2020. Now, this is not to say that I won't do special shows from here through the end of the year. One of those shows will be coming up on Tuesday night. Tuesday night, it is the plan to stream live from Warner Robins, Georgia. That's where I will be doing election night coverage from. This most likely will be video coverage, now maybe some audio throw, you know, from the Blog Talk listeners, but this will most likely be seen on Facebook and YouTube, streaming live. So, like I said, this is the end of our fifth season. And it's actually our long, the most shows we've ever produced in our season. We did 5 seasons about Down South and Dirty. And we've done 32 shows this season. That is from the beginning of this year to now. There have been 32 shows. That's a lot of work. I want to thank my co-host, Kadada, who she's been hurt. She's been working diligently out there protecting the vote and working the, campaign trail. And y'all give her, shout out and pat on the back because she's doing election protection for New Georgia. And boy, that has to be a job considering the rate of our election. But going into our 6th season, there can be some possible changes. One, I'm looking at starting to do more video. And it won't necessarily be live. They will be more curated, more production value, and also shorter. Putting things in more bite-sized chunks. We're also looking at going to Patreon and starting a subscription service for Down South and Dirty. Because, believe it or not, it actually costs. And I want to do a better job of bringing information because there's a lot of things over these last 6 years and 5 seasons that we've brought to light that may have been, in my opinion, taken a lot seriously if the content was more polished and better presented. So we want to make a point because my vision has always been an independent media voice. Even though I am a progressive, I want to be able to tell stories from an independent view. I want to be able to do some bigger projects. And by us hopefully taking this to a subscription, was not just everything, but certain stuff would be behind paywalls and this, that, and the other. Or we'd be taking subscriptions and donations and whatnot to help us build out the content that we can tell some stories that other people are not willing to tell or not tell from certain angles. So everybody pray for us. Pray for Down South and Dirty as we look to expand what we're doing, our scope, and trying to build an actual brand that is better serving of the listeners. We do what we do over here because we love telling the story. We like getting you to think. We like arguing with y'all because it's iron sharpening iron. So thank you for those of you who listen to Down South and Dirty Radio on a regular basis, those of you who participate, those of you who give us ideas and encouragement. It's been wonderful. And particularly during 2020, with so much going on, I really appreciate you, the listeners. Y'all are my friends. I really get excited when somebody come up to me and they mention, oh, you're Scout Smith. You were Down South and Dirty. And I'm like, you listen to Down South and Dirty? Yeah. I'm like, wow. And sometimes as a podcaster, it's not the same as it is like on a live. On a Facebook Live or whatever, you can see how many listeners or viewers you have at that particular point in time. It's usually a day or two or a week before I get a complete idea of how much impact one show has. So sometimes I'm talking, and I've had shows that really y'all didn't pay any attention to, but it was important information. I felt like I needed to get out there. And then maybe a couple months later, somebody actually goes back and starts listening to a show that I did a year ago. So it's appreciated. We're going to continue to do this work. and we thank you. And this is Down South and Dirty, and we're out. Peace. See you in 2021.